Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the Mighty Hot 102.7, and I hope that you're all well today and that you survived this heat. I just want to start by sharing something that I did share on the breakfast show on Thursday, but I feel it's worth repeating because for me, it is actually showing the grace of God. Lloyd and I were out to dinner on Wednesday evening and we found friends at the same restaurant. Their young daughter came to talk to us. She's in junior primary. I just want you to know how young she is. And in that conversation, we found out that we had missed her birthday. I immediately apologized and she said, "Don't worry, you can remember it next year." I was actually blown away by the grace that she showed us. It's not just the positive attitude, but actually the grace of God that we talk about. And this was it in action. I know adults who aren't that gracious. And we're all called to show that grace and to be that grace in action, just like she was. Now, today's readings are an interesting lot. They're about blessings and curses. And before we get too distressed, I'm hoping to explain some of the cursing part of it. But it is also about the blessings and how Jesus's kingdom, the kingdom of God, is completely countercultural, the opposite of our worldly values. But I'm going to start in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. We read, "This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wasteland that will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in a parched place of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives." And so here is the curse that I was talking about. So this reading starts, in fact, with the curses and saying that if we trust in humans alone, if we trust in our own strength, then it is as if we're in a desert, a wasteland. And I think with the heat that we've had and the lack of water, and we've all seen droughts in South Africa before, we can picture this, absolutely picture it. And we've been told by Jeremiah that if we put our trust in ourselves, in humans, then this is what will happen. But he goes on to say, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in God. They will be like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green." As I said, we've had a lot of heat lately, and I think we can all relate to this. I've been absolutely amazed. In the middle of that really hot spell before the rains came, I was amazed at how the trees were surviving, because obviously they weren't receiving water from above, but they have deep roots. And so they'd grown those deep roots and they survived. But I think any gardener knows that if we planted seedlings at that time, they didn't survive because they didn't have those deep roots. So we're told that we have to put our trust in God, our confidence in God, and then we will be like a tree planted by water that sends out roots by the stream. We are told then that it has no worries in the year of drought, that tree. It never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. So he goes on to say that, you know, the heart is something that is quite fickle. And I think our heart, well, in fact, he says it's deceitful above all things. But that God searches our heart, examines our mind, and rewards us according to our deeds. Now, we know that in the New Testament, we are told that we cannot earn salvation through works. However, works are important. We need to remember that. We can't just say we believe in God, we believe in Jesus, we believe Jesus is the Son of God. That is our salvation through the work Jesus did on the cross, and that is true. But we are still called to exercise the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and to bring God's kingdom a little closer through the Holy Spirit working in and through us. So while Paul clearly tells us that we cannot be saved through our deeds, that we are only saved through the work of Jesus on the cross, we can see even from the Old Testament times that it does matter what we do. And we need to do what is right. In fact, it matters a lot. As we think about this, let us also ask God to guard our thoughts in our hearts. And so I actually pray, "Lord, guard my heart and mind each and every day." Coming up now on the Mighty Heart 102.7, "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord."
Sunrise with Shona
on Heart 102.7.
"Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. The Holy One is here." You're listening to Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church on the Mighty Hot 102.7, and it is great to be with you this morning. I've started by looking at Jeremiah, and I told you the readings are interesting and also a little uncomfortable. They are about blessings and curses. It's really not something that we all love looking at. But I want to go to Psalm number 1 now, which was also a reading set for today, and it starts again with blessings. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step of the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on this law day and night. So here we are told again that we need to meditate on God day and night. And in fact, maybe we should be praying, God, please protect my heart and mind day and night. And that, those are the people that will be blessed, those of us who meditate on God's laws day and night. We are told then, and here's the tree analogy again, this person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yieldeth fruit in due season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. So we see the very same imagery of that tree from Jeremiah. And again we're told, therefore, that we should be delighting in God's law, doing what is right according to God, not according to worldly standards, according to God, and meditating on God's law day and night. And then we are like that tree planted by streams of water that will yield much fruit. And of course we need to. I spoke about planting plants, and when we garden, of course, anyone who's a gardener, and I love gardening, I spend my time in the garden, know that we need to also water deeply when we do water, so that the plants grow deeper roots. Because if the roots are on the surface, then the plant will shrivel up at the first time it's hot. And I think when I think of our spirituality and our walk with God, we need to grow those roots in God. And how do we do that? Sometimes by meditating day and night on God's word, but always being aware of God, always being prayerful, and recognizing the power of God's word, so that we do spend time with God. So it's a whole lot of things. It's not just the one thing. It is meditating on God's law, meditating on God's word, spending time with God, praying, being aware of God's presence, and moving in the power of God. So while we cannot earn salvation, it is a free gift from God, we need to be living as Christians, portraying those fruits of the Spirit. We move then to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, and this is what he said. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how can we say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Because if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith also is in vain. He goes on to say, yea, though we found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that raised up Christ, whom he had not raised up. If that was so, and the dead did not rise, then he goes on to say, well, then what are we up to? Then we are doing what we're doing in vain, and we should be, we should actually have people feeling sorry for us, because we're preaching something that's not true. But he's saying Jesus did rise from the dead, and therefore we have eternal life. And of course, there's a whole lot of proof for that if you really look for it. I've always said, if we just look at those 11 disciples that were left, if they had not seen the resurrected Christ, would they really have been prepared to spend the rest of their lives preaching the resurrection when they were persecuted for that? Would they really have been prepared to die the way they died and be thrown in jail and treated the way they were, simply because they were preaching the resurrected Christ, if they hadn't seen the resurrected Christ? Surely they would have said, no, sorry, we were just telling a lie, and moved on. Why would they have continued to preach that with the consequences that came with it if they had not seen the resurrected Christ? So like Paul, I say, we know that Jesus rose from the dead, and therefore we inherit eternal life. And if anyone doesn't believe that, well then, you know, that's their business. But we need to continually preach the resurrected Christ and know in our heart of hearts, and that hope is within us, we know that Jesus rose from the dead, and therefore we will rise with God when that time comes for us, because we are living according to God's laws, not according to worldly laws, in Christ, knowing who the resurrected Jesus is. As we think of that, coming up next on the Mighty Heart 1027, all over the world.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 1027.
All over the world, the Spirit is moving. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the Mighty Hot 1027, and I truly hope that God's Spirit is moving all over the world when I look at what is happening in the world. Today we've looked at blessings and cursings in Jeremiah and in Psalm 1. We've looked at how we are inheritors of eternal life, and how Paul speaks about how we need to preach that eternal life through the resurrected Christ. I'm now moving on to what is called the Sermon on the Plains from Luke chapter 6, and it is also about blessings and woes. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. So just another indication of the power of God, the power of Jesus, the power of God's healing touch. Jesus then looked at the disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. And blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, insult you, and reject your name as evil, because of me, the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort." So now we come to the four woes. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. So again, we have this whole thing of blessings and woes. And I think it's a very profound moment in the Gospel of Luke where we encounter this thing that is called the Sermon on the Plain as opposed to the Sermon on the Mount. And it's Jesus standing on the plains teaching the people. Now, it's very similar to the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes in Matthew's Gospel, but it's different in its tone, its structure, and its setting. Jesus here is speaking directly to a crowd in a way that emphasizes the nature of the kingdom of God. And as I said, it turns worldly values upside down. I think it invites us perhaps to consider the blessings as well as the curses. And we need to, the blessings that are in stark contrast to what the world thinks are blessings, and to look at the curses and just be aware of them and what is Jesus actually saying. So as we look at this passage, I think it's good to explore the similarities and differences between the versions of blessings and woes in the more familiar passage, perhaps one you're more familiar with in Matthew 5, the one referred to as the Beatitudes, but the general message is the same. And the first difference I want to note is that here Jesus is on the plains, whereas in the Beatitudes he's on the mountain, Sermon on the Mount. And that, when we look at the Beatitudes, it should remind us of Moses, who was set apart from the people and went up to get the Ten Commandments from God. And Jesus, perhaps in the Beatitudes, is seen as being set apart from them a bit, whereas in the plains, he's showing us quite clearly that this is a Jesus who is accessible to all. This word is accessible to all. God is here for all, one with all the people, and no one is excluded. So I just think that was an important distinction to make. We go on then to this blessing, and it is turning worldly values upside down. Jesus pronounces these four blessings, and each one for me highlights the kingdom of God is very, very different from our earthly kingdom and our values here. I mentioned that at Christmas when I said perhaps I would have expected God to have his son born first of all in Jerusalem, the capital, political capital, the religious capital of the Jewish faith. I would have had him born in a palace maybe, to wealthy parents, not in a stable in Bethlehem, to people that were unknown. So right from the start we're told, or we're shown perhaps through the word of God, that God's kingdom is different from ours. And there are times when we need to be a little uncomfortable with the way in which we're living. So the first blessing is, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Anyone who's been poor, who is still poor, sitting in poverty, would probably not consider themselves blessed. So what is this? What is Jesus talking about? Why does he say they're blessed? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And perhaps, and I mean, Jesus himself had money. We know that because Judas kept that money. What is Jesus actually saying? Perhaps what he's saying is that when we are poor, we're more reliant on God. We're more open to God. We're more aware of our need of God. And rich people become completely and absolutely sure that they are able to cope by themselves. They often become independent of God and feel like they're in charge. And so maybe part of this is, but also it is that they are blessed, the poor people, but part of it is that they are far more open to God and God's movement. And I've seen this when I've worshipped in poor communities. Their deep faith always moves me. And so perhaps that is also one of the ways in which they are blessed. They are uniquely positioned to receive the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. If you've known hunger, you know that that is not a blessing this side of eternity. And we would always then think of the physical experience. But what about those who are hungering spiritually as well? If we hunger spiritually, we're told seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. And so we need to be aware that we need to hunger spiritually for God, seeking God in our whole being. In the words that we heard this morning, meditating on God's law, day and night, being with God. So there's this promise of fulfillment if we are hungry that we will be fed. And I like that interpretation of that blessing. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Now, if you are in mourning at the moment, I really hope that God will bring you comfort and strength through your mourning. And I'm sure you don't feel like laughing. So what is Jesus really saying is that one day all the tears will be wiped away. We told that in Revelation, and I believe that with my whole heart. But with grief, we are also more open to God. From my own experience of twice where I've had deep grief, I have seen how we are much more open to God and much more likely to feel God's presence and God's love, because we are not walking through life just going from day to day, but we're actually in a place where we stand still, where our hearts are rendered open and we feel God's movement. And then we are blessed because God will be with us, and eventually God moves us to a place where we are happier again. And even though we can't see it in the midst of that grief, it does come. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, insult you and reject you because of the Son of Man. And of course, he's warning his disciples of what is to come, because they are going to be rejected. They are going to have a difficult life. But he's saying you are blessed above all people, even though people are turning on you because of me. And we can contrast that with the warnings. Again, not comfortable when we look at the warnings. In contrast to the blessings, Jesus pronounces four woes. And these woes serve as a warning, perhaps, to those of us who are too comfortable and secure in our worldly values. And we seek the power, the wealth, popularity. We seek to be in charge. We believe that we are the ones who are in control. And those are the woes that we need to look at here, because he says, woe to you who are rich, for you've already received your comfort. I don't think Jesus is condemning wealth in itself, because as I said, I believe that Jesus did have money. But perhaps the pursuit of wealth, the reliance on our wealth, the reliance on our material possessions, the reliance on the fact that we are wealthy and we know it all, and so we don't need God, we don't need to care for other people, that would be a problem to God. And woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Again, we're satisfied with our current environment in which we find ourselves. We're not seeking God. We don't feel that we need anything more. We're happy with ourselves and where we're at. Then obviously it is woe to us. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. I think it's obviously contrasts a blessing for those who weep, that one day they will laugh. But I think if we're only seeking pleasures, worldly pleasures for ourselves, we need to be very careful, because we are called to look after God's people. And so if we only seek worldly pleasures, one day that will be replaced by sorrow when we move from this life into the next. And woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how the ancestors treated false prophets. Notice the false prophets. And this is the final woe. It's a warning against seeking approval of people and not standing for what is right in God. And again, I go back to the psalm where we're told that we should meditate on God's law day and night and keep God's law. It might not be what everyone is asking us to do. It might be countercultural, but we need to remain faithful to what God is calling us to do. So in all, as we've looked at all these readings today, we've looked at Jeremiah with blessings and curses. We've looked at Psalm 1 with blessings and curses. We've looked at Paul talking about how we inherit of eternal life through the resurrection of Christ. We've looked at the Sermon on the Plain, which is a very interesting sermon about blessings and woes. I think the bottom line underlying all of this for me is how we need to be rooted in Christ, soaked in Christ, meditating on God day and night, guarding our hearts and minds, that we move fully in the power of God's Holy Spirit. And then we don't need to worry about this, because then we are blessed. And we are blessed as followers of God, as children of God. I pray that you have a wonderful week. To wrap up this morning, the wondrous cross and amazing grace, thank you so much for listening. And may God bless you and those you love and pray for.
Sunrise with Shona
on Heart 102.7.